Help lead the conversation tonight and just show the wondrous things from your word, Lord. We ask that you would just bless us in the things that we see, protect us, and your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, good Wednesday. What a controversial topic, right? And tonight we're going to walk through something that many people either overlook or they overcomplicate. And a lot of these topics that we talk about, you'll find that there's two big ditches on either side of a road. Either people will overemphasize grace or they'll overemphasize legalism. And this is the same topic even when you're talking about some of the Jewish stuff, because some people can get overzealous about the Jewish stuff. And the church will be like, hey, we don't even need to worry about it because we're Gentiles. So we're going to take a good look at that tonight. But tonight we're going to talk about the Passover. Today is actually the Passover in Jerusalem and the timing of the cross and why it actually matters. And I think this is important. But before we get into dates and calendars and arguments, let me ask you this one question before we even start. Does it really matter? No. Does it matter whether we're celebrating on a Friday or a Wednesday or what? I'll say it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. How's that for an answer? Kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. So if God set these feasts as his calendar, and if they're shadows pointing to a purpose, something that is there, if Jesus is fulfilling them on purpose, in precision, then it does matter. Okay? It doesn't matter when we overemphasize tradition, dates, timing, things of that nature. This is trusting the Word of God and allowing it to take you to a deeper level. And that's where, again, it's important. We go to a deeper level, greater understanding. And if God is in patterns, and we've noticed that through Genesis, we notice that in Revelation, we see that in John, then patterns are important. And if that's the case, then Jesus is the completion to that pattern. So yes, it matters in the fact that it strengthens our trust in Scripture. If I can undermine certain things, then at what point, what can I trust and what can't I trust? You get the idea? If Jesus really didn't die, you know, on this day or that day, he died on Friday, and he really didn't mean he was in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and it doesn't matter if he died on Passover or not, then the question is, okay, well, now what does matter? Being saved by grace? Well, did he really mean that then either? So you see, it does kind of matter in terms of that. And if God nailed the timing of the cross down to a specific moment, a specific feast, if you will, then it's not loose, it is precise. And it reveals Jesus more clearly at the end of the day. And I think that's why it is important. Passover isn't just about someone who died, some random guy. No, he's the Passover lamb. That weight means something. And so tonight we'll look at the law of first mention, when Passover originally was and why it was, because that will again tell us today that if he's the Passover lamb, then on that same exact time, on that same day, in the same exact way that God said it would happen, happened. It calls out the church from being in this passive tradition, and it moves us into intentional faith. And that's why it's important. So we're not rejecting everything, but we're asking, am I following the truth, or am I just walking through something because that's what people tell me? So therefore, the other question is, well, isn't it legalistic? So let's make something pretty clear, very clear. We're not studying the Passover because we think Christians are justified by keeping feast days. We are not justified, nor are the Jews justified in keeping the feast days. They were under a covenant that if they didn't keep the feast days, then certain things would happen to them. Disobedience. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. We're not doing this to put ourselves back under the law or even to put ourselves in the covenant of the Jews. We're not doing this to earn righteousness. And we're not doing this because observing a calendar on a specific day saves anybody. It doesn't. That's the balance. That's the two ditches we're looking at tonight. We're going to go right down the middle of the road. So if this doesn't matter, why are we even bringing up the feasts? Why are we doing this? Who cares? Because the feasts are never the Savior. We established that. But what were they? They were signposts pointing to the Savior. Remember my analogy? Kansas City that way. Jesus that way. So which way do we want to go? That way. And this is the pattern that God gave us. The problem's not the pattern. The problem is when people begin to trust the pattern instead of the person whom the pattern points to. That's the same with any legalistic aspect of the law, by the way. It helps us see that Jesus just didn't randomly die, but he died according to the redemptive plan as the Lamb of God that God established from the beginning. And so, understand this. Christians are not required to keep the feasts as a matter of salvation, righteousness, or even covenant obligation. Should we remember the feasts? Yeah. We're free to remember them, study them, even celebrate them and participate them. But as long as we do so in a Christ-centered way that is under the Lord, that's it. Think about this. Do you celebrate your birthday? Is your birthday over and over again? No. What about your anniversary? Are you getting married every time over and over again on your anniversary? No. But yet we celebrate those things. Some of us do. I just got a chuckle over there. And this is for you guys now. If you don't celebrate your anniversary, are you now unmarried? If you don't celebrate your birthday, are you now unborn? You guys get the point. Why do we do birthdays and anniversaries and heck, even Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving and the 4th of July, we do these as what? A remembrance. A remembrance. And by the way, if you think we don't do that, we do it twice a month and it's called communion. Because we do this in remembrance of what Jesus did. Just like communion doesn't save us, but we still do so in remembrance of Him. So the right approach is this. These are God-given patterns that point to Christ, and remembering them helps us worship Him with greater understanding. Amen? All right, Colossians 2:16. We're going to go around a lot tonight with some verses, mainly Colossians, Exodus, and Leviticus, so you can get your fingers warmed up, but I do have some of them on the screen. Colossians 2:16 says this, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath." Verse 17, "which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." Sakeia. Apparently, the primitive word shade or shadow, right? It is a form that is displayed through something else. That's what a shadow is. You guys know what it is. When the sun's up and you put your hand up and you see your shadow on the sidewalk or whatever, the thing on the sidewalk isn't your hand. Your hand is the hand. That is just a shadow. So these feasts are just the shadow. They are the shadow of Christ. It goes on and it says, but the body or the substance, soma is the Greek form, and the body is used in a variety of different ways, but it is literally a body. Some versions say the substance, the evidence, the proof of. Kind of like faith. right? Faith is the substance. It's the proof. So what Paul is saying here is he's saying that all these things are what? Signposts pointing to Christ. No matter what we talk about. People get overzealous about Sabbaths and all these things, but they're all pointing to Christ. So now our main focus, Leviticus 32, verse 2. The feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So first of all, let's understand what God is saying here. He's saying that these are not the feasts of the Jews. Sometimes we think that. We think Passover, you know, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, or whatever the feast may be, we go, oh, that's a Jewish feast. Well, Leviticus sets the record straight and says, no, they are the Lord's feast. So don't, you know, say, hey, I don't have to do that because I'm not Jewish. The phrase feasts is tied to this Hebrew word, moed. And moed is this, an appointed time, an appointed meeting, or a set time. Just like I would say, hey, come to church on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. That is what? An appointed time. What time was it? 6 o'clock. So do we show up 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon? You missed it. So it's not a party. It's not a cultural celebration. It's not a Jewish tradition. It's a divine appointment set by God according to His calendar. And so, when we talk about Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles, we are talking about God's appointed times. Not only that, but some feasts have already been fulfilled in Christ, and some have not. So we do some in remembrance, but we do some as dress rehearsals. So if you're part of a wedding, right, you go to a dress rehearsal. You walk through, you practice, so that when the day comes, everybody knows what to do, right? Same thing. So when we talk about Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Day of Atonement, all these, we're talking about God's appointed times pointing to who? Jesus. All right. God has a calendar. Did you know that? Yeah, it's established in Genesis 1. Starts it off. But these feasts and these festivals are marked on God's calendar. Not man's, God's calendar. And that's why the timing matters. The timing is critical. Not that we observe it on a certain day, but that the events that they are pointing to happen on that day. You see where I'm going with that? So the death, burial, resurrection, and the future return of Christ will happen on God's calendar. The feasts are not just dates to remember. They are times when God says, hey, meet me here, watch this, learn this, remember this. So, who is Christ? Oh, that's an open-ended question, isn't it? So let's let 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, purge out therefore the old leaven. And this is the King James Version. I just felt King James-y tonight. That thee, or ye, may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even this, you see what it is up there? Christ, our what? Our Passover is sacrificed for us. So if we go to the law first mentioned, that's one of the tools we use in Bible study. I've taught that to you guys too. Okay. Passover, when is the first time the Bible uses this word Passover? And it's found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. You guys may know the story. It's at the end of the 10 plagues when the angel of death is about to go through, and whoever had the blood, he passed over. First thing. Verse 11 in Exodus 12 says, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, with a staff in your hand, and ye shall in haste, it is the Lord's, there it is, Passover. So that's the first time it is used. So let's back up a little bit and take a look at Exodus 12. So if you get there with me, we'll pick it up in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So right there, let's talk about something. God is changing the calendar. God had an established calendar. What he's saying is, whatever month it is right now, forget that. This is now your January. Let's just say they were in August. Just say, God says, this is no longer August. This is January. Okay? The actual terminology is this Tishri was the month, and he said it's now going to be the month of Nisan. You see, Tishri was moved and changed with Nisan, which actually Nisan was the seventh month. So the seventh month Nisan was now replaced with the first month of Tishri, and they switched. So Nisan is the first month of the Jewish year. Understand, just like we have many different calendars, the Jews also have many different calendars, right? We have our calendar that starts in January and ends in December, yes? But we also have a April 15th calendar, don't we? A tax calendar. And then we also have maybe, you know, a governmental calendar or a physical year calendar if you own a business and whatever your year starts. So you understand there's many different calendars. They too had a Jewish religious calendar, and then they had a civil calendar. They even had a tree calendar. Pam would love this. That they would say at the end of 4 years is when you could partake of a tree. That's when you could first take the fruit. So you plant a tree, you couldn't eat of its fruit till 4 years later. Now, could you imagine? So when did we plant that? Was it January? Was it February? So they just said, hey, if it was planted in that year, then it would start a four-year calendar, and then they could take the fruit. You guys get the idea? So anyway, God is saying in verse 2, we're going to switch the months. So this month where this event is happening would from here on be known as Nisan. Okay? So, speak to all the congregation in verse 3 of Israel, saying, on the 10th, so you can take note of that, of this month, which is what? Nisan. Every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the household of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. So it's 10, okay? So understand this, that move to Second Temple period, the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, right? Josephus records 250 some thousand lambs were being slain. Did you guys hear me? 250,000 for the number of people that were in Jerusalem for the feast. I mean, wow. He goes on to say that, hey, this is such a big event, it actually isn't going to be done all at once. We're going to take about 3 hours to do it, and some even believe that it took even longer, so they started earlier than the day. But we don't know. All we have is Josephus that recorded it. He said they go through three courses. There was three different Passovers that would take event through that time period. Anyway, so verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. 6. Now when you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Okay? Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Then you take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of the house where they eat. Then they should eat the flesh on that night. All right, so we're getting some timing going on here. So what God is telling Moses is that month is now called Nisan. Verse 3 says the 10th day, 10th Nisan, take the lamb, examine it for 4 days. On the 14th day, kill it in the evening. When the sun goes down, right, and before that, put the blood up. when the sun went down, then you eat it. Anybody know when the angel of death came through Egypt? At night. So they were at night, sundown, behind the doors eating the lamb as they were passed over. They were behind the blood. They were behind the blood. So, something else to remember, according to Genesis chapter 1, the Jewish day started at sundown. So remember Genesis 1, the evening and the day was the first day. So when the sun goes down and the lights go out, it's a new day. So it would change, okay? They were told to take the lamb on the 10th, examine it for 4 days. On the 14th day, they were to kill it, place the blood on the doorposts, and then when the sun went down, the day would change to 15th Nisan, even though to you and I, it would still be Wednesday night. And that's when they would eat the lamb. Now, let's jump to Leviticus 23. We're just going to jump down to verse 4. The first three verses are talking about the Sabbath there. But verse 4 says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month." Sound familiar? "At twilight is what? The Lord's Passover." And if you have some Bibles have little references, cross-references. If yours does, it probably says Exodus 12. Okay? "And on the 15th day of the same month," which is the very next day, "is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." Here it is, verse 7. "On the first day," which would be what? 15th Nisan, yeah? "It is a holy convocation, and you shall do no work on it." Shall do no work. So, that is a Sabbath, not your typical Saturday Sabbath. This is a special Sabbath, no work. We later know this to be not the only, but one of a few high Sabbaths. High Sabbaths. Now we jump over to verse 10. "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." So when does he wave it? The day after the Sabbath, but not the high Sabbath. Otherwise, it would have said. So this would be the next weekly Sabbath. Now, we're pointing something right now. We have two hard dates, right? 14th Nisan, which is what? Passover. 15th Nisan, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day, which is a high Sabbath. Now we've got this Feast of First Fruits, which could be what? Floating. Because it depends on when the next Sabbath would be. Okay? So the Feast of Fruits, First Fruits, if you will, moves, but Passover and Unleavened Bread are a fixed date. Okay, now with that background, let's look at some Gospels. We got to remember Exodus, and it says in 12:3, "Speak ye into the congregation the 10th day of this month." We understand all of that. Let's go to John 20. John 20, verse 1. "Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. What did she find at the tomb? Nothing. It's empty. It was empty. Flip over to Mark 16. Verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2. Early in the morning, on when? First day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Do you think that's important? Yeah, because that's the transfer of a day. And what did they find? An empty tomb. All right, so hopefully this shows up. Next slide there, Craig. On the screen, I tried to do my best on this. Can you guys see that okay? You can't, can you? Shoot, this isn't going to work. All right, so why didn't that show up? We have a fixed date according to the Gospels. Which day is it? First day of the week. This is Sunday. I don't know why that's not on there. This is Sunday. And we have what? Mary. Now remember, our day starts at 12 a.m. Their day starts at sunset and sunrise, right? So this Sunday would have started sunset the day before. Sunset Saturday, okay? All right. So we know that she came what? Following a Sabbath. So Mark 16:1 says, and when the Sabbath had passed. So, man, it's really sad. I can't believe those aren't up there. This is Saturday, and this is a Sabbath. When would the Sabbath have started? Sunset Friday. Okay? Everybody track it. Now this we're about to get really deep in here, so if you get confused, say, hey, time out. All right, let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23. We'll pick it up in verse 55. Actually, let's go to 54. That day was the preparation day, and the Sabbath drew near. So if you follow the story up, that is right after Jesus died. This is when he's on the cross. There was a big concern. We have to get his body off the cross. Why? Because of a Sabbath. It was against the law, the Jewish law, for dead things to hang on the Sabbath. They had to get it down. He had to get him in the ground, okay? So 55, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed. So they're following the body. And who's taking the body? Joseph and Nicodemus. Remember his name? Nick at Night. And they're carrying about 100 pounds of spices with them. Okay? But the women are following after, and they watched, they observed the tomb and how the body was laid. And then they had to leave. Then, 56, there's a skip in there, but it says they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. So when could they have done this? Wait, they couldn't do it the next day. Why'd they have to get the body off the cross? So are they going to prepare and work on the Sabbath? Uh-oh. Houston, we have a problem. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Okay, so this can kind of see a little bit of confusion. So we'll go back to John, because John can help us tie this together. John 19:31. So the preparation day was capitalized because it wasn't every Sabbath that came along wasn't just a preparation day. You didn't need to worry about that. What day is it? It's Passover. They're getting the preparation for what later would be the meal and then the Passover day. Okay? So it's the preparation day. So in 31, therefore, because it was the preparation day, the bodies on the cross should not remain, or they should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. See the parentheses? What does it say? Oh, wait a minute. Interesting. That Sabbath, the reason they had to get Jesus off the cross was because of the Sabbath, but that wasn't an ordinary Sabbath. That was a high day. Now, you already know Leviticus, right? So what was the high day? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which they said, no work. Okay? No work. Okay. That was 15th Nisan. So there's two Sabbaths that year. We're starting to see that developed. Starting to see two Sabbaths. You have the unleavened bread, and then you would have the weekly Sabbath. Now, here's one thing you got to remember. The 14th Nisan doesn't always fall on the same day every year. Biblical calendar was based on the lunar. It was based on the lunar display, if you will. It's not fixed like our calendar is today. A new month would begin with what is called the new moon. And a year to the Jews, again, we had a couple different years. They had a 360-day year and they had a 345-day year. So the timing is all messed up. We can't always say that this is the way it happens every single year because you can't. So the same date moves throughout the week. This year, it's on a Wednesday. Next year, it might be on a Monday. It's all based on the new moon. What the new moon was in ancient Israel was the start of the month when the first visible crescent of the new moon appeared at sunset. So you know that time when it's kind of still bright outside, still kind of day, kind of see, and you look up and you see the moon? That right there, picture that you see up there, would tell them it's the new moon. And that's how they would start their calendar. And there would be some fluctuation. That's why some months they would be 29, some months they'd be 30. There's fluctuation in that. Now, how would they let people know? Well, the official would call it, then they would set the fires. And when they see the smoke, they all knew what the calendar was, which is important because that's kind of how the Feast of Trumpets was announced, by the way. It could have happened on one or two days. That's why it was the Feast of the Unknown Day or Hour. Just kind of interesting. But they'd watch the sky, and when they said seen it, they say, okay, that's day one. So there's floating in there, right? So understand that, you know, it's not hard that this is the way it is every single year. Can we work backwards? So, okay, let's work backwards. Let's start today and go back in history and see if we can do that. And they have tried to do that, and they end up on April 7th, Friday, of depending on when you think Jesus died. Was it 32? Was it 30? Was it 33? When did the calendar really change? I'm going to tell you this. It's all messed up. It's completely messed up. People who say, well, Jesus died on 33 AD. There's a lot of evidence that shows he died on 30 AD. It all depends on who you're listening to, because the dates were changed. As different emperors got in, they go like, oh, we're going to shift it 3 days. So you can't work it backwards, but the main reason you can't work it backwards is because it was based on the lunar observation and the official declaration, and we don't know when that was. We don't know what it was. Plus, you get into the whole debate of days. Is it 365? Is it 360? Is it 354? It all depends. You can't work it backwards. We got the whole issue of the spices. Remember? They returned to prepare spices. But wait a second. We can't. Got to wait. Got to do this Sabbath. Then they prepared spices. Then when they show up at the tomb, what'd they come with? The spices prepared, yeah? So if there were two back-to-back Sabbaths, how could they have done that unless they broke the law? They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it. The two spices is easily explained because it says that Joseph and Nicodemus, who performed the burial, used the spices immediately. And they were at haste. This had to happen really, really quick. And so it wasn't a complete system. So the women would have came back later to add burial anointing after the Sabbath because of the timing. They had to get out of there. So let's go back to our unmarked calendar. All right, what day are we here? Sunday, and it starts here, yeah? This is the Saturday Sabbath. Starts here. What does this day? Friday. Oh, could we do it here? Absolutely. Can't do it there. It's the only day there. Can't forget the high Sabbath. John 19. The high Sabbath is where? I'm going fast, Craig. Yeah. There it is. First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we have a time stamp, don't we? Because we know this is non-debatable, right? 15 Nisan. We have two known dates. You can't move those around any different. Doesn't work that way. Everybody tracking? Remember the sunset? Passover 14th Nisan always falls March, April in Jerusalem. And that time would have been around 6 to 6:30 p.m. So the average is 6:15. So when you talk in biblical terms, first hour, 7 a.m., third hour, 9 a.m., sixth hour, 12 p.m., ninth hour would be 3 p.m. And the Gospels tell us that Jesus cried out and took his last breath on the ninth hour at 3 o'clock, which perfectly aligns with Josephus, who said the slaughter began in the temple at the ninth hour. So at the same time, they would have been happening. I'm sure that's a quinky-dink. The same time. Is that important? Yeah, it's important. Why? Because this is God's divine appointment. It had to have happened. I'm going to tell you, if anything, it's not there. There it is. This had to happen on this day. Excuse me, here. This had to happen this day. Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. But if we move it to here, Friday, we were late to God's appointment. God was late to his own appointment, is a better way to say that. He was late to his own appointment. We got another issue, 3 days and three nights. Anybody heard of that? 3 days. It's found in Matthew 12. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. As for Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of man. And Dave's got a two-page report if you want to talk to him about what the world says that Jesus was. What is the idiom? It was an idiom, which means it wasn't true. Okay? Here it is, gang. What day is this? He rose Saturday at sunset or sometime after that, because that would have been Sunday. This is what? Saturday day. Night? Day? Night? Day? Night. Jesus died right here about 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. He was placed in the tomb. He had to have been placed in the tomb before 6:15 or 6 o'clock. Otherwise, it would have rolled, sundown would have went down, and he would have rolled into the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He had to go in. Had to be. All right. I'll show you one last thing. We go back to Exodus 12, 3. You don't have to go back there, but remember, what day was the lamb received? The 10th day. Then verses 5 and 6 say that they examined the lamb for 4 days to make sure the lamb was without spot and blemish and all that. If the Passover in that particular year was 14th Nisan Wednesday, what would the 10th day be? Back it up. What day would that put you on? Saturday. Uh-oh. Got another problem. What's that? Sabbath. Let's go to John 12. You know what's interesting about the book of John is from 12 starts this, rolls into 13, but from 13 all the way through 18, 6 chapters is a conversation that happens during the course of what we call the Last Supper. When did Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Anybody know? At the Last Supper. All that happened, all this conversation through John, it's a big chunk of it that's happening at the Last Supper. Some people believe it was the Passover. In fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke almost give the language, pretty hard to rebuke that, strong language that they're celebrating the Passover. But how could they celebrate the Passover when the lamb hadn't been slain yet? Because when was the lambs, in, not talking about Jesus, when was the lamb slain? Yeah, so how could they be eating the Passover on the 13th? Or even the 14th morning at night? So, Jesus says, therefore, 6 days before the Passover. Oh, we have another time marker. 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany. John 12:12 says, the next day. So, that would be what? 5 days before the Passover. On that day, 5 days prior to the Passover, John tells us, that's when the triumphal entry happened. So if you count backwards from Passover, Wednesday, and you go back, you land on what day? Saturday. But we have a problem. It's the Sabbath. And that's how many days? What does John tell us that triumphantly happened? Guess what, folks? It's not Palm Sunday, it's Palm Friday. Ooh. Told you I'd mess up all your tradition. But it's floating. So why do they celebrate Palm Sunday? It's floating, right? Because it's not always that weekly structure in those lands. So what's the point of all this? Or are we going to become Wednesday only? We got to be careful with that, because then it's like, we got to come to church on Saturday. We can talk about dates and days and timelines, see the importance, understand it. And hopefully, even through what we walked you through tonight, you didn't go, oh my gosh, we're on the wrong day. But your mind went, man, God is awesome. And he says what he means, and he means what he says. And his divine appointments are his appointments. We have dress rehearsals and or remembrances of those. We have those. But when God says he's going to do something on a certain day, here's the takeaway. He will do it on that day. That's why we need to know what's going on. That's why it is important to us. And we must not forget, all of these are shadows pointing, or shadows of Christ, because he is our Passover lamb. He was nailed to the cross on our behalf. Amen. Yeah, we have to take to heart and honor the days, because God has appointed those days. They're his timeline. And if that's the case, if we get dogmatic about it, we missed it, because it was 6 a.m. this morning, our time. It's okay. But remember what Matthew 24:4 says. Don't be deceived. We have different clocks, but it's the same moment in history, in the history of mankind, where God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to hang on a cross. And the thing why I overemphasize Good Wednesday is really to buck the system against Good Friday, because people celebrate it. They celebrate the day instead of celebrating the Messiah. Amen. And it's like, well, if you want to cross T's and dot I's, let's do it. He died on Wednesday. Hopefully you guys got something from that. Hopefully it understands. But please, let's not turn this into an argument about all the people who do Good Friday services. But the truth will grow you in Christ. And you can't show a Friday crucifixion and walk through Leviticus and Exodus and see what we see tonight, because now all of a sudden those don't add up. It's tough. It's tough to keep straight. Every time I teach this, I have to start all over again. Even as of earlier today, I was like, Dave, I think he died on Thursday. And Dave's like, no. He slapped me around a little bit. And I'm like, okay, we're good. That's why there was no podcast today, because we were fighting. It's good. It's good. All right, you guys got any questions? This